problem. What's the big deal? It's us. It's the boys. We're good.
What the problem?
What's the problem?
No, we're here. It's us.
You got a problem?
We're the boys. We're here.
You've already done 2 hours of the show here, and so far, I would say you've been fair. You've been okay.
The guy that abandoned us and left us for dead,
right?
Steve DeAustin.
Not true.
Right?
Yeah.
Nope. He gets top billing.
Well, not top billing.
Steve DeAustin's first mention.
Fred, you know what it is. They want to make him feel comfortable. Okay, he'll drop down to the fifth billing.
Any more comfortable, he'll be naked on the floor.
In 2 weeks, fifth billing.
It was actually something I put in the contract. Anytime Fred and I are mentioned at the same time, I have to be mentioned first. I'm just saying. It was just a little thing. No big deal.
You know what? That's how they
negotiation.
All these years went together.
You can negotiate.
Started the big show, 17 years number one. They dumped us. But you did good afterwards. What, you went to number eight?
Hey, I gave you top billing on our restaurant.
Then they fired you. Everyone was like 15. They brought you in, brought back. You know what? And then we were number one. We kicked
I gave you top billing at the steakhouse. All right? Just be happy.
That was very nice of you.
All right? Just
that was dumb of you. What are you thinking?
Age before beauty?
Oh, jeez.
Whatever
it was. No, it's your fault, actually.
Oh, it's always my fault.
It is your fault.
You sound like Fred now. Fred always blames everything on me.
It's your fault because...
Remember Fred got fired at ESPN?
Yes.
And he blamed me?
That's sort of
what were you talking about on the air? What were you talking about on the air?
Someone set me up.
What do you mean set you up?
Someone was talking about partial birth abortion.
Partial birth
on ESPN.
Fred was talking about it.
No, that's the question to me.
Fred was talking about it.
And I said it's a slippery slope. I'm a pro-life guy. You know, and they're like, so next thing you know, the phone went off.
He's on with Dan Patrick. He's talking about partial...
No, I didn't. Someone called me. Yeah.
It's your fault because somehow
they'll never come back here again. That's
you
okay.
Branded us as Fred and Steve, and it was a natural
screw you, Fred.
So it's your fault.
Stop.
All right,
it sounds better than Steve and Fred.
It's you're right.
It just
this sounds better.
Yeah, it does. Steve DeAustin.
No more 0-2. It's 2-0. How about that?
I think you read Glenn Ordway, Steve DeAustin, and some guy who used to play for Buffalo.
Yeah. Hey, you wouldn't know him because he never was on.
How about Fourier? He's telling all of us for like a month now. It's going to be 4 hours with Fourier. It's going to be the pregame show. And I didn't believe a single
word of
it.
Why didn't he come in the
10th? So today? I don't know. That's a good point. I didn't see
him today.
I came to
visit you the other day. You didn't even, Fourier didn't look at me.
He didn't recognize
you. I was waiting outside for him for a couple hours.
He said to me, he goes, is that Steve or Fred? Which one is that?
How quickly they forget.
I think there's going to be a fight.
I've
got to train again.
So today I turned the show on right at 9 o'clock because I've got to hear the beginning of it. And he comes up with this
name.
Mike Monansky opens up the
show.
Mike Monansky. That's a guy named Mutt. But his real name, nobody knew that, is Mike Monansky.
Right. He's a monkey guy, right, or something?
And Rich Keefe around with him. And so Fourier has this lame excuse that he decided that he didn't want to do all of the heavy lifting. So he wanted other guys in there.
He wanted to open up opportunities for other people.
That's what he said.
He's a Samaritan.
He's a kind-hearted guy.
No, he's a total fraud.
What?
He was never going to do that show by himself.
He wears makeup on the radio.
Didn't you do a show with him a couple of weeks ago with him and Dino?
I did.
How'd that work out?
It was actually, conversation was good.
I was called for that show.
Christian was
a
little worn out, he told me, after the 4 hours.
Yeah.
And then I turned Steve on, and he's on every show on EEI, and I called...
Steve's getting some opportunities again.
Yeah, I called up, Joey, and he hang up on me.
I'm surprised he even took your call in the first place.
Why would you pick it up?
So I'm in
Joey,
the
don't pick up the
I'm
call.
I'm in the parking lot. I can't find
Joe,
his car.
Joey, they have caller ID now. It's been around for the last 15 years.
Hey, Joey.
Nobody picks up Fred's calls.
Hey, Joey, you're a funny guy. I see how much you laugh when I get a hold of you.
All right, so we're here after a Patriots victory, the first of the season. How many games did you pick the Patriots to win this year? Because usually you're the 16-0 guy.
I was 116-0, and you know it.
That's
I
picked
it right
1 year.
No,
one
you
time.
Pick it every year, and you
one
were
time.
Right.
I'm
one
right
year.
Every year.
No, you were right one
last
year.
Last year I said
you pick it every year, and you were right.
This year,
how about
I said,
the conversation?
Hold on.
The conversation we had when we were picking the record. Go ahead.
We're picking the championship. Champion always goes first, and I've been the champion over the last couple of years.
No, you haven't been.
You
lied.
Even though they take you on EEI instead of me.
You're lying.
My credentials speak for themselves.
Yeah, they do. That's why you got third billing.
Third billing? Pete still has billing over me. He's in Miami.
Andy and Doug Lane will have hired him.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Who's this Alex kid?
So wait a minute. You picked him to go what?
I picked them to go 13-3.
Okay, and then when I asked you which three games might they have a chance of losing, you said none.
No, that's not what I said.
Yes, you did.
You can't do that.
I said
you absolutely did.
They're going to be favored in every game, which they were last year.
Well, wait a minute. That's
and
not
the only
I asked
game
you.
They will lose is ones that they lose and not get beat.
Wait a minute. The only
game they
lose.
Are they favored in Jacksonville next week?
Yes.
How do you know?
Because
are you making it up?
You want to bet?
Can we look it up?
Would you like to bet?
Let's look it up.
You backstabbing dog. Out, yeah. Would you like a bet?
No, they might not be when you. I'm just asking. They had a tough game against Jacksonville.
Hold on a second.
In a playoff, Jacksonville.
Jacksonville had a tough time against the Giants.
You get 3 points for being at home, right? Usually, right. Something like that. Yeah. Okay.
I'm asking.
So I would guess it's. I will host. At best,
how about this?
1 point.
Yeah.
If I win, I will host show, and I'll fire the other two, and I'll hire Steve. Yeah. What do you think about that, buddy?
What are you winning?
What are you talking about?
I'll host your show.
No, you're not.
No, I said if I win, I'll host a show.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
You said let's bet. You say that.
No, you said let's bet.
I said let's bet.
3 games that they lose. Give me the 3 games.
Possibly
lose.
They're not going to lose 3 now?
No, I said that.
13-3. See, that's what you're
saying. Let someone explain himself. Stop bloviating. I know you have more air in your body than anyone else.
I love throwing a bomb in the middle of this room and just let.
Because I'm going to leap over this table on top of you. If
you
I can move my
I know
back.
Your knees won't hold on. No. You can't leap
up. Well, he hurt himself wrestling with Franny the other day.
I picked Franny up, tried to throw him, and then I threw him, and my back went out.
The great advantage I have is when you try to go over this table, you won't make it over to the other side. It's not that I'm quick enough to get out of the way, but you won't
I'll bite your kneecaps.
That's right. So which 3 games would they have?
Which 3 games are they going to lose?
How about they lose that they might have trouble with?
They shouldn't lose any game.
That's not the question.
They're going to be favored in every game. So it's
you're
a game that they
question.
Don't play well.
You're avoiding
I can't tell if they're not going to play. I know a lot of things about football, but I can't predict when they have a bad game.
That's not what we're asking you.
I'm not telling
everybody
you.
Everybody makes predictions.
They may lose to Buffalo.
Listen, Hillary, answer the question for you. Crying out, you're trying to avoid the question. Answer the question.
Obama.
Answer the question.
He gets them now.
Which 3 games?
Bills in Buffalo. You hear that, Buffalo?
The Buffalo team that managed 3 points today?
It's a big 3 points.
Yeah,
I do not think
Nate
they're not going to be.
Only
listen,
have three
not,
picks
they shouldn't lose any game, but this
that's because not of,
that's not what we're asking you.
Okay,
they're going to lose 3 games.
Okay,
that's
time,
all.
It's time okay. to shut his microphone off.
Which games?
Steve, how many games you got him winning this?
I had him at 12.
And which games?
Right. I had him at 12.
Which games are going to lose?
Well, they're going to have trouble in Jacksonville.
No, they won't.
Okay, so
you're wrong again.
You're
disqualified.
Hold on a second.
I win.
They've got the. They might lose one game in the division, although I'm less inclined to believe that. But
Buffalo,
probably not Buffalo. Maybe Miami. I'm not sure.
Buffalo's taking 2 steps back.
Miami's going to be exhausted after this game. Yeah.
Do you know Buffalo, when you talk about Buffalo and all the screw-ups they've had, Buffalo has $50 million of dead money this year.
Hard to imagine.
How is that possible?
They're paying their fans now.
Poor leadership.
That is unbelievable. $50
million. You know what?
They still don't have a quarterback.
When the wrong direction, you know, when the coach says, I'm going to rebuild. You don't rebuild, you build. You have good people in place, some of them. You have to build off of base you have.
Didn't you think 2 years ago they were on the right road?
Well,
they had
what's the name? The coach in
– Rex.
Marone.
No, Marone.
Yeah. Once
they
got
9-7. Yeah.
Right.
9-7. Marone's on a roll. He goes into the draft room, and they traded a first-round pick. Who was the receiver?
Watkins. Yeah, the kid got all the money. Got $15 million.
Yeah. Watkins, they trade a first-round pick next year and their first round to get Watkins.
And the coach says, I'm out.
He said, kick the table, I'm done. And they gave him $4.5 million clause.
How'd they give him a contract where he could get out and give him money?
I don't know.
That's Buffalo. I'm telling you.
But you were the guy that just went 9-7 the first time he had a winning record. And look what he did in Jacksonville. And you don't – and they had Whaley up there. Whaley said Hogan couldn't run. So that's why he left. He was on the right track. Then they bring another.
See, Miami to me is the only team that, if they can get their act together, and I say if because there's a lot of ifs with when it comes to Miami, they get their act together, maybe they can offer a challenge. Maybe they're one of the teams.
It doesn't hurt
in Miami. They always have trouble.
Jets can't. Maybe the Jets, by the way, might be if the quarterback pays off here. If Sam Darnold is legit, maybe we're talking about the start of the Jets coming back to life here in.
When we retired from football.
Next 3 or 4 years. Right,
would we agree that probably the toughest teams that they're facing this year, the Jaguars next week, okay?
Yes. I think Detroit's a tough game the week after that.
Okay.
They can score a lot of points.
At Detroit, okay, yeah. But fine. They got Green Bay. They're playing Green Bay
at home.
Kansas City
at
home. At
home.
You know, so.
Not opening game.
You know, so, you know, Titans, no. Minnesota, at home.
That's the thing. The tough game. Now, if they're playing those games on the road, Steve, I'm looking at it totally different.
Right.
I think they're going 13-3. And
you're copying me.
No, but he's actually
what I'm saying.
Actually
going, hold,
I actually,
on, hold, on, hold on.
I actually think they're going to lose three.
You're
games.
You're just yelling.
You don't think they're going to lose 3 games.
I think they may lose 3 games, but I put it down there. So,
like the
people that put the spread out there, they think they're going to win every game because they're favored in every game. like they were last year, but they didn't win every game.
They're putting the spread out to entice gamblers in.
But those are games that they expect them to win. That's why they're getting the points.
Are you telling me you don't understand that the point spread is based on trying to entice gamblers?
Because people think that they're going to win.
Again.
And so they're favored to win. We always call that favored to win.
I'm not disagreeing with that point. Okay. But what I'm telling you is that if you're going to say –
I know, that more money will sway that.
If you're going to say 13-3, show me three possible games that you think they – might have trouble.
They were going to lose a game.
Not say lose. Right. Just say have trouble with. That's easier for you?
I think they have trouble with the team you don't expect them to.
Who?
Okay, well, that's fair. That's fair.
Okay. Miami and Miami.
So,
how about that?
Okay, Fred.
But I think that they'll be better than every team they play.
See, I think he's right. They probably will end
you
up.
You have to say again.
For the first time. They're probably going to lose. Steve, they're probably going to lose against a team that you think they're going to win. Right. They'll have a letdown. Something will happen.
You'll be wrong.
Yeah. But just tell me the teams that – okay, so that happens once.
So
right?
I look at – they're going to have a flat spot. I can say maybe Miami and Miami.
So that's one of the three. Give us the other two.
Take a team that maybe in Buffalo. Take them too lightly like they did. When 31-0.
Stop it.
Send us to Buffalo.
Nobody in Buffalo is listening right now, all right?
Yeah, I haven't
– Tell us the truth.
Andy is putting this right out there.
All right, so give us two other games. And again,
other because I just said two.
I'm not going to commit you to saying
maybe Green Bay.
But I'm asking you to commit to the
and maybe at the end of the season when they have
I'll give you one. I'll give you
when
one.
They're all wrapped up at the end of the season
one?
They have a game against the Jets, it doesn't mean anything.
I'll give you one. You want one? They're going to lose next week.
No. I bet.
All right,
steak at Fred and Steve's.
All right, but again, you got to give me.
So I gave you. I told you exactly what I'm trying to say.
You said Buffalo, and you know that's a joke.
No, I said for instance, a Miami and Miami, which you always have problems. They don't play well.
You said Buffalo.
I think
also.
They'll win. They'll be favored to win. I think that I should win every game because they're a better.
You know
team.
What? No, Steve. When it comes to the really tough games on the schedule or teams that you would think they would have a difficult time. They're playing those guys, all those teams at home.
Kansas City
Chiefs at home. They're playing the Bears on the road.
Right.
Okay. Not a big deal.
No.
Okay.
Minnesota at home.
Green Bay at home. At Tennessee. Okay. That, by the way, is going to be a gigantic game for Tennessee, but I'm not sure.
They'll be still in Miami waiting
to
finish.
Yeah, they're not ready.
You get the Vikings here in New England. How about Pittsburgh? At Pittsburgh.
Never. Pittsburgh could be Cleveland.
Hold on. That's week 15. Le'Veon Bell will just be back three games.
It could be the last game of the season. They wrapped up the AFC. They wrapped up the whole thing.
So you're not going to answer the question.
So that's
you're not going to answer the question.
I just did ask it.
No,
you're not listening.
No, you didn't.
You're used to talking. No, you're not listening. Listen,
well,
fella,
true.
You want to be successful in radio? You better start listening.
Thank you. I will. I appreciate the advice, Fred. God. Oh, we gotta take a break. 617-779-7937. How many weeks are in the schedule? I don't think I can play.
I don't know.
This
is a long one already.
I got 16 of
these. Wait till I take over your show. I'll hire you, Steve. Don't worry about it.
Thank you.
All right, time right now for the Wise Play of the Game. It's all brought to you by Wise Snacks. Ridgy Tailgate Classics. Here it is.
Yummy. Allen gets it away with no trouble. And ball bounces at the two. Wilson, let's see you go 99 yards, they say.
Can you believe that?
Wow, what a punt.
An angle to the corner. You cannot return that.
54 yards down inside of the one. Allen gets it away with no trouble.
Bunch of plays we could have picked in this game. We could have picked the first Gronk touchdown. We could have picked the Dorsett touchdown. We could have picked the Gilmore pick. There's a bunch of plays we could have picked during this thing. That punt at the end, that sealed the game.
Right.
Now they got to go 99 yards.
And it wasn't like it was a little 39-yard pooch punt or something. It was a 54-yard kick that he put backspin on like I'd like to be able to do with my pitching wedge. Right. It was just what these punters these days can do with that football right now is just it's amazing. And that was about as perfect as it gets.
Yeah, that was a big, huge play. You can sit here. They probably shouldn't have been in that position.
Right.
But once they got in that position, without that Ryan Allen punt, who knows? They get the ball in the 30. Maybe they
– This punt was good all day.
Yeah.
The best possible punt, you couldn't have had it better. That was absolute perfection.
1 yard line, 54
right when
yards.
You needed it. It was great.
And the hang time was great because everyone got around it.
Pretty good. The Wise Play of the Game is being brought to you by Wise Snacks, Ridgy Tailgate Classics. Look for the new Buffalo Wings. They're really good.
Oh, my God.
And the dry rub, they're pretty good, too. Flavors at your local store. By the way, Bill Belichick, as you just heard, will join us on OMF tomorrow afternoon. Tom Brady will join Kirk and Callahan tomorrow morning. A lot of people have been asking, is Tom Brady going to be on the radio in the morning on Kirk? And there was a little miscommunication.
Yeah, I'm filling in tomorrow morning, too. Did I tell you that?
Oh, yeah.
And tomorrow, after, and tomorrow midday, too.
Don't piss him off.
Steve says it's, just
like, it's not like he's out of work, but you're just rubbing it in.
I'm kidding, of course. I'm kidding.
I got Texas. Steve, who are you? I'm at EEI.
I'm working. What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? All I'm right. in a field picking flowers.
Surprised he hasn't picked up employment at the Greek radio station.
I know, right?
How do you know I'm not? I learned Greek.
Boomer Sison also with Kirk and Callahan tomorrow. Before we continue on, Gronk had himself a pretty big game. 8 targets, 7 catches, and this is what he said after the game.
It was probably the strip fumble that you had after a big play. Can you talk us through that one?
Yes, just made the catch, and then, I don't know, I just caught it looking up the field. And you just got to be aware. I mean, these players in the NFL are fantastic. Everyone's fast. Everyone's quick, and everyone knows how to, like, get at the ball and try to strip offensive players with the ball. So I got to do a better job with that for sure, and it's going to start with practice to get better with that.
Rob, the catch at the end of the second quarter, big play at that point of the game. Take us through it. What was going through your mind as soon as you hit the ground? You see Tom race up to the line of scrimmage. You guys got that ball off and got the snap off, and it stood.
Yeah. I mean, when we ran, when I was running up to see him, I was like Vice and two guys on me. And when I saw the ball in the air, I literally thought first thing, like, what is Tom thinking? When that ball was in the air, I had like a guy grabbing me, and I was like, I just got to go for it. Can't let them make a play on it. So just went up for it, made the catch, and I did make the catch. I don't know how. When I went to the ground, I mean, I had it stabled in my hand. So it was definitely a catch, but Tom went up to the line really quick just to make sure I got the play off, which was nice. And it was wild.
Hey, Rob. Oh, yeah. How is it that you and Tom Brady has this cohesiveness between each other, and especially the first touchdown you like threw, and it was two guys on you at that time as well?
It's a lot of practice, no doubt. A lot of practice. I mean, and it's never letting up. It's a lot of consistency out there on the practice field, doing it every week, doing it in the off season, doing it in camp, doing it whenever. So. You can't just get on a page like that just from the get-go. I mean, you got to put work in. You got to put time in, and that's what we do.
Rob, there were reports before the game today that you made it clear to the Patriots in the offseason you wanted to play with the Patriots. Can you comment on that? And also, is that sort of the same as your thoughts after the Super Bowl when you said you were uncertain about your future? How does all that come together?
I was wondering why they asked me that on the field right after the game. I was like, what? Where is this coming from again? No, I'm glad to be here, glad to be part of this team, glad to be part of this organization. And all that talk, all that stuff, I mean, I would love to put it in the past, whatever it is, whatever reports keep coming out, because I'm here. I'm here to stay, and I'm here to keep playing ball with the Patriots and just enjoying my time here.
Thank you.
Yep.
Hey, Rob. James Devlin is a guy who works really in two position groups as a fullback, but also spends a lot of time in your room or with you guys on the field as a tight end. And today, 4 catches for him, including a key first down, obviously late in the game. Is that the guy you see every day? I mean, he's so respected in that locker room. But what does he bring to your group in particular, and what we saw today after only 6 catches all of last year to have the 4 receptions in a key spot as well?
It's huge. I mean, we don't really have that many guys right now in the tight end room, wide receiver room. We're low on running back, so we need to use everyone. And he's been always preparing. He's been always ready. And just every time I remember since he's been here, he's always been ready to catch the ball. I mean, to get the first down, how many yards we need. I mean, he works hard. He plays hard. He blocks hard. And it's great to have him in the room, part of us tight ends and fullbacks, we call each other.
Hey, Rob, 2 things. Just talk about how you clear some space for James White on that touchdown in the second quarter. And also, how often do you work on those end-of-game Hail Mary situations?
I got to re-watch the film to see the James White touchdown. I mean, the game and everything, I'm really not sure exactly what the coverage was or anything. But, I mean, just always got to do your job. Run good routes even when you know the ball might not be coming to you, because you got to get another player open on the offensive side. So taking guys is part of the game. It's part of the team, and that's how you do it. I mean, the jump ball, I mean, you don't work on it. It's not an everyday thing. I mean, something you install, you're working on it once or twice a year, and you just remember it. You just remember the jump ball. You just, it's easy.
Rob Gronkowski after the game, and I don't know why he was surprised that someone would be asking him about the, was it Ian Rappaport, mm-hmm. I think, who had the story today. And by the way, that story, I don't know if anybody was surprised by it. We were all theorizing at the time that that was going on, because it, especially after that motocross thing, which I thought was really bizarre of him. And it was, as you know, guys, it was the type of thing that probably pissed off Belichick a little bit. It probably pissed off the Patriots a little bit, you know?
It's a distraction.
Yeah. And so at that point, it wouldn't surprise me at all if Belichick said, hey, you want to be here or not? You know, we could trade you away. You don't want to be here. And he was bitching about getting more money or whatever.
Right.
Hey, we know how it works. You get less money if you're going to stay with the New England Patriots, but you win. And in the end, you probably still do pretty well.
Commercials okay? will come your way.
Exactly.
And when you're losing, you're not on TV. No one wants
it. Tom Brady's throwing the football to you as opposed to Nate Peterman in Buffalo. You get your money in Buffalo, but you get Nate Peterman throwing the football to you.
That's the thing. Oftentimes, your big money free agents will end up in a team that's desperate to have some production. And if that's the case, it's probably because their quarterback's not that good. You got a guy who's on the path for a first ballot Hall of Fame. Why wouldn't you ride out the Tom Brady experience as long as you possibly
can? But don't you think Bill used that to his advantage to try to quiet Gronk down, that he read that? He knew Gronk did not want to leave here. Gronk wanted more money. Gronk ended up getting – because I believe all along Gronk wanted guaranteed money. He was not happy that he had to earn it last year with incentives.
Oh, he does have it. Right. You know, a gripe. He's not the highest, even close to the highest.
He's got a legitimate gripe, Fred, because to me, he's as valuable as any of these wide receivers in the league.
Agreed.
The difference is that wide receivers do get paid $15, $16 million.
54, what?
He got $80 million total deal. Cooks. 50 somewhat guaranteed. And Gronk's a much better player. Okay, we get that. The Patriots aren't going to break the mold. They're not going to set the precedent and suddenly pay a tight end like a wide receiver. Of all teams, the Patriots are the one team that's not going
to
break
the precedent. Because the reason they don't have to is because they have something that no other team can offer. You're going to be in the playoffs. You're going to have a chance in another championship. If you're a receiver, you're going to be playing with the best quarterback of all time, with one of the best offensive coordinators, and certainly the best head coach of all time. If football is important to a guy, here's a guy who is – on the fast track to the Hall of Fame. You've put yourself in a position for a legendary status in terms of the NFL. Being Tom Brady's main guy is an even quicker path to that,
but
to that goal.
Unfortunately, for the Patriots, you know that. Cooks gets the money because Tom's throwing to him and gets the ball where a lot of quarterbacks wouldn't. Gronk's going to go to a place, like Steve said, that needs somebody that can catch the ball and deliver, but the guy throwing the ball is not going to be Tom, and his status is going to diminish. But because he's with the Patriots and wins, people all want you, and that's what happens to the Super Bowl teams. They want the Super Bowl players. They want the guys on their teams, the big plays, but they don't have the coach. They don't have the quarterback. They don't have the owner to make you successful year after year like the Patriots do. So why are you on every commercial for Dunkin' Donuts and everything else? Because people love you because you're successful, and part of that is because you're the Patriots.
Gronk has cultivated an image. We know what that image is. He's not – he's a lot smarter than that image. He's a frat boy, and he's fun, and he's crazy, and he's great at what he does. But when you talk to the kid and when you hear about the things that he's done in terms of – managing his money and doing the whatever endorsements he does, he's very smart about that, or he has smart people around him. One way or the other, doesn't matter.
When you're running in this offense, you have to be smart. He doesn't make many mistakes on his routes.
Right.
He's a very intelligent football player. People don't realize that. You know, when Ocho Stinko was here, he couldn't play because he couldn't figure out what the hell to do in the system that's a little
or happening. Didn't want to work that hard. Well, Gronk has no problem working that hard.
So I think after the motocross thing, I don't think they were real pleased with him here across the strait. And that's probably when they had the little sit-down. And we were all theorizing at the time something was going on. But if you're Gronk, you're right. the one thing they knew that Gronk did not want to do is he did not want to get traded. And Belichick probably threw that carrot out there. He threw it in front of him, said, hey, you don't want to be here. You want to get your money? Go somewhere else. We'll trade your ass away. We can deal with it. We can do that. Because they knew that Gronk probably would take the incentive deal once again, the incentive-laden deal, because he wants to finish out his career with Brady because of exactly what you said, Steve.
Right.
He's clearly on pace for Hall of Fame, maybe the greatest tight end of all time. But he might the career may peter off in the next few years if Nate Peterman is throwing the football to him.
And look at the last two marquee trades that the Patriots made. One guy goes to Cleveland, Jamie Collins, and the other guy goes to San Francisco.
Right.
You're talking about two of the much lesser franchises in the NFL right now. That's obscurity with, Jimmy G is going to be a decent quarterback, but not Tom Brady. And Cleveland has no idea what's going on now, what they do now with their draft choice.
They cut Jamie?
I guarantee he saw that too. He looked at it and said, okay, well, you know, I could end up in Cleveland, or I could end up at the Jets. Well, not the Jets probably, but I could end up in Buffalo or some other godforsaken hellhole.
But they played that game with him. I think they played that game with him, and he wasn't going to get traded away, so he ended up taking the incentive. I mean, you remember when he made the comment, I can't remember the exact words, but it was something along never again or something like that. Never again was I had to bust my ass last year and play all those games and play at a high level, and it turns out he had to be an all-pro to be able to get his money. And yet he's back doing the exact same thing this year. It's all incentive-laden the deal. As good as he was last year, he has to be slightly better this year in every category.
But wasn't he coming off an injury? Last year
he
was coming off an injury.
He was, but he's had injuries in his career.
True.
So there's no, he could get injured again this year.
Right.
And that's how they treated it. And so it.
You know one thing. Gronk loves playing football.
No question.
Loves it.
He loves being Gronk.
Despite everything else that goes on in his life and all the crazy stuff he does and all the great things he's doing, he loves football. You can't play the game the way
loving it. He's pissed off, and Fred's right. He has a right to be pissed off when he looks at these other guys. When he looks at a Brandon Cooks deal and says, you got to be bleeping me. He's getting what? And he knows he played alongside Brandon Cooks last year.
Right.
He's a more valuable player.
Okay, good.
No question.
Great. And you can go somewhere and do something else.
He's smart enough to realize where his money was made here. He wouldn't have been Gronk without being with Tom and being with Belichick.
Okay, true. Ready for this? An accomplished guy, receiver, watched football today, and he came up with one team that he wants to play for.
Interesting.
Happens to be your team. We'll get that story coming. I'm back here with a real post-game show from the Best Yet broadcast shed right across the street from Gillette Stadium. The parking lots are all clear. Everything is... What's the matter?
I didn't see the jet today. There's a big yellow thing in front of me.
You came in
they had the Twisted Tea van. Got a lot of twisted tea. Yeah, there's a lot of twisted tea out there. So we mentioned the whole Gronk thing with Ian Rappaport, and Dez Bryant is still out there, guys. He does not have a gig yet. Went to Cleveland. I don't know what the hell happened. They got a tie today, so they don't need him anymore.
He ran a 5-2-4.
Right. And he said he might have waited around until game 10 or whatever. I don't know what the hell he's thinking. He's 29 years of age. He's running out of time here. But he watched the game today, and apparently a Dallas fan tweeted at him, at Dez Bryant, please come back. Please have Kim call Jerry first thing Monday. Two words, showcase my skills for real. If I line up next to Gronk, Hogan, Edelman, I'm for sure getting a one-on-one matchup. Plus, I won't be getting criticized, controlled for expressing my love for the game. Washington is cool as well. So he must be watching the Redskins game.
How does he express his love for the game? Take his pants off and run around the stadium?
I have no idea. But he's throwing it out there, and he watched the Patriots game today, and that was the national game. It cut across the country, and
he thinks he's
got a little excited.
That's what he's doing. He thinks he's marketing himself. You know, he's trying to throw it out there, and for some reason he thinks there might be fan pressure from some organizations. There's no fan pressure here for the Patriots to sign Dez Bryant.
I think they probably analyzed it and judged, does he fit well in our team?
But where is that tweet directed to? It's directed to try to get fans or people talking about him going to certain organizations.
Yeah, he's writing off Dallas. He's pissing off the people in Dallas off. But he's now bringing up he brought the Patriots up before.
He did, yeah.
If you remember. So right. I think he's got...
Why does he just call Belichick?
Well, he probably has. His agent probably has. And the Patriots are looking at it saying, do we have time to work this guy into what we're doing, into our system? No. Is he the right guy for us? They probably don't. They're going to get Edelman back here in another 3 weeks, and, you know, where do you fit him in? Now, if guys get hurt down the course of the season, could you bring him in and run a package here or a package there where you, you know, you use him in a –
He's got to be experienced enough that he can catch on to a point. It's not like he's going to walk in there and be ignorant of the entire situation. There's you know, certain routes work with other routes, and I'm sure he has a – I promise you he has a baseline idea of what's going on. But again, does he bring baggage with him? Is he still the productive receiver he was 2 years ago? Last year wasn't a great indication. No. And I understand that, you know, there were issues there too. But I don't know if the Patriots actually need him. He's better
probably
off
guys that let go that did bring back, you know, guys in the practice squad that might want to take off.
Instead of Dez Bryant? Dez Bryant's better than anybody that had that, they have in the practice squad.
He was years ago. Is he still
is. He still is.
He still is. If he has someone more to pick them up, unless there is a ton of baggage, they don't want
Well, here's where they may be looking at it. He was a pain in the ass in Dallas because he wanted the ball at all times. Okay, and he was forcing a quarterback to throw it to him, and he was getting pissed off if the quarterback was not throwing it to him.
Yep.
All right.
And quarterback's vocal about it.
Vocal, and the quarterback's a young quarterback who wants everybody to like him right now, wants the receiving corps to like him, and it seemed to be a problem. Now, here's the other one that deals with social media. We saw the Honey Badger out on the field today. He was all excited about playing against Tom Brady, and he actually had a pick in today's game. And then did you guys see him on the sideline?
Yes.
He was going ballistic
at
his position coach and other players. And he was really pissed off about something that happened during the course of the game.
If I heard it correctly, too, he was elected captain, too.
He is one of the captains,
right.
I believe.
He hasn't been there that long.
No, five months.
Yeah.
He's been there five months.
So he's a good player.
He's one of those players.
He's very instinctive, and he's a game changer. He'll make a big play for you that'll turn a game around. But it's I think it was right after the game. Andy might
apparently during the game the Dale and Keefe account tweeted Honey Badger was lucky for the two turnovers he scooped up basically.
Yep.
Oh, those Dale and Keefe guys trying to stoke it up.
They're always stirring stuff up.
Yeah. And they didn't at him, so they didn't mention him. So in order to see this tweet, he would have been searching for his own name on
Twitter.
You don't think
he's following Dale and Keefe?
I don't believe so. And he tweeted back a two-word answer, yo mama.
This is right after the game.
This is about an hour after the game.
The mamas have good hands?
So he may be just out of the shower or on the bus, just searching his – he's on the bus searching his own – his own name on Twitter.
That is unbelievable.
And he's a little sensitive on you?
A little.
Talk about rabbit ears. Come on.
Because Andy's right. You'd have to go and find out. Everybody, scroll through everybody that's mentioned it during the course of the game. But he was pissed off during the game today.
He really,
and as a captain coming in with a team that's playing a really good team out on the road right out of the gate, you're going to get that pissed off.
Are they 77-0 with Stotts?
I don't remember what prompted that outburst, but it was right on the sideline. He was very, waving his hands and yelling and all sorts of things. And
they had confusion, I think, on a big completion, if I remember.
It was right after they gave a big play on defense.
Yeah, it was a big play, and I can't remember what play it was.
And there was a coach in the vicinity, so I don't know if he was yelling at the coach or not.
He was yelling at his position, a teammate and the position coach.
Right.
So he's yelling at a teammate, then he looks at the position coach, looked like the position coach, again, body language, was taking the teammate's position, and he started yelling at him.
Right.
And come on, it's game one. You're playing a good team. You're playing a great quarterback, greatest quarterback to ever play the game. He comes up with a big play.
When you have a lot of talent, the hardest thing to do is make it a team.
Yeah.
The right players to work together, not bitching when bad things are happening. When you have someone pulling one way and you just lost the game, you don't want that.
But he got elected captain, so he's got to have the respect of his teammates automatically. I mean, especially on that defense.
But you need to respect your coaches and also.
And by the way, that's some good advice for you when it comes to the show with a three-man team this year.
Think of the
team. You should be
thinking
of the team and not think of yourself.
Not so much Fred.
I'm just telling you, you brought up a great example.
All you have to remember is.
Good example. Here's a mirror. Here's a mirror right now. Look at that mirror.
Hey, make sure it's one of those ones that make you look wider.
When you point a finger at us, you know what's happening. You're acting like it's a gun.
I'll put a finger at you right here.
Hey,
you
remember. It's 2-0 now. That's the name of the show.
Fred, shut up. We're taking a break. Let's take a break right now. We'll be right back. All right, boys, let's take this sucker home, and then we'll take everybody over to Fenway Park. Should be a good one tonight at Fenway between the Red Sox and the Astros. A lot of Houston fans showed up for the baseball game yesterday and today here for the football game. It was like a great sports weekend for Houston fans.
Wait a minute. The show's almost over?
It's almost over, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's only felt like a week.
What's the matter?
This goes by fast.
It goes back fast when you're having a good time.
Yeah, no kidding.
Sitting there doing commercials.
Have your nice cigar, something to eat.
Wow. How'd you like it when you talked for 2 minutes and then you run about 5 minutes of commercials?
Felt like I couldn't express myself completely.
You had a lot
of. You're a shy individual.
You did a lot of interviews with the crafts and stuff.
He didn't. They don't trust him with the crafts.
They don't trust me.
They had him in. They had him in the box.
Now you have Fred talking over you, so you still won't be able to express.
Oh, my God.
Good point. That's a very good point.
We should have a talk meeter. See who talks the most. I was the least today. By far.
Please. The problem with the talk meter is because nobody can understand you. The talk meter could not pick up whether it was a real word.
Mr. Lynn.
Right?
Wow.
You're from the nice section of Lynn, huh?
All right, you ready for this? A little recap on the game. Lack of receivers. That was a big question in the preseason. Receivers were fine today. No problem, right? Fine today.
Yes.
And
they have that Gronk
including
guy.
Philip Dorsett, who was better than we thought he was going to be today.
But can we count on him for the year?
No.
That's the
time
question.
Time will tell.
Okay. We go week by week with all of this.
But you only have to count for three more weeks.
Big development. Trent Brown, left tackle. Marcus Cannon dealing with J.J. Watt on the right tackle. The tackles were good today. They protected Tom Brady.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. And
that was a huge point.
I thought Trent Brown would be fine, but I didn't think he'd play that well.
Especially with a speed guy like Crowley.
Yeah, absolutely right. And he handled the speed. He handled a couple of bull rushes that the guy tried. I mean, that's 380 pounds of good athlete right there.
Yeah. 385, he may be. They list him at 385. Well, he may be above 385. I can tell you, you always list yourself as less weight than what you really
weigh. What do you mean?
How much? I'm not
how much do you really weigh, Glenn?
How about the defense now? The defense today, we talked about this in the preseason. They're more aggressive. They're more athletic. Linebackers, they got Hightower back. We saw aggressiveness. We saw an attack on a quarterback, and yet they were disciplined. They kept him in contain. Good job by the defense.
And someone asked me this on Twitter, actually. Could it be that maybe the fact that you've got a youngish quarterback who's coming back from an injury, did that allow you to be a little more aggressive defensively?
Maybe.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought,
One week.
Yeah, but again, that's fine. You game plan every week as it goes. But the ability to do what we saw today, I thought that was a good sign.
We can only
think the athletes, but also the pass rush technique was good. They were keeping it contained. They were getting at him, tackling him, did a nice job, and spreading things out. A few times they got beat. One of them drives, they went right down the field. Houston did, for lack bad performance and technique. But for the most part, they got out wide with the backs. They weren't able to turn a corner like they did as easy last year. So they did a lot of good things. DBs did pretty good coverage.
Watson just coming back. It could be a factor. He's been out for a while. We're going to go week to week. Maybe Matthew Stafford lights this defense up here in a couple of weeks. Who knows? But I thought today, this defense, from a personnel standpoint, I think there's an upgrade on the front seven.
Yeah.
I think there's no question about it. Jeremy Hill, knee injury. This did not look good today.
No, it didn't. And granted, they're deep at that running back position, but anytime a guy that you planned on using in your game plan, anytime a guy like that goes down, it makes you wonder how they replace that guy.
What's up with the rookie, Georgia? The running back.
Sonny Michel?
Sonny Michel.
Is he on IR?
No, not on IR.
Right. So,
he was inactive today.
Okay.
I don't think there's no rush to get him back.
No. All right, next week, Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville. We'll be back to the show. Thanks to Chris Scheme. Thanks to John Anderson. Thanks to Andy Maswa.
Chris Shine, not Scheme.
Oh, Chris Shine. I'm sorry, Chris.
Thanks for the cigars we're smoking.
Stand by. We got the baseball game coming up next. OMF tomorrow, catching 2 p.m.
0-2.
Des Bryant responds.